You are about to listen to an episode of The Cypher before it was The Cypher. For our first 75 episodes, we were known as Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and we had a slightly different format. In all honesty, our production value and sound quality today is much improved from these early episodes. That said, the content is so great that these shows are a valuable part of our archive. If you want more information about our transition, make sure to check out episode 76 with Ritz, which was our first one under the new name. To keep up to date on everything involving The Cypher, visit us online at thecyphershow.com or find us on iTunes. And now, without further ado, here's The Cypher before The Cypher.
Rap Genius, I was automatically, when I stepped through the door, what they call a security threat.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius. I'm your host, Same Old Sean. This is episode 39, recorded live at the Rap Genius Ranch at Austin's South by Southwest Music Festival. We talk to two awesome Louisiana rappers, Mystical and Kevin Gates. As always on Outside the Lines, we have a special kind of audio footnotes to go along with the broadcast. Every time you hear this sound,
Rap Genius,
go to rapgenius.com and search OTL39. That will bring you to annotated excerpts from today's interview, where you'll get audio, video, and more information to bring you further outside the lines. We begin with Mystical. He started his career at the New Orleans independent label Big Boy Records. As you'll hear, he was a rebel against the bounce scene predominant in that city at the time. He really came to public attention, though, with his work for No Limit, where he had huge hits like Danger and Shake Your Ass. After tremendous success, pop stardom, and Grammys, he ran into some problems, including some legal ones that we talk about during the course of the interview. But now he's back, signed to another New Orleans powerhouse, Cash Money Records. We began, though, by speaking about his long-ago beef with Cash Money. Same Old Sean with Rap Genius, here with Mystical. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, great. It's great to have you and you know, Kevin Gates here, while so many Louisiana artists you know, while we're in the South, to really rep
represent
it.
For real.
So, you know, Rap Genius is all about breaking down lyrics.
Okay.
So I was hoping to start, I know you just, with the way back, I was listening to Back from the River the
Ooh,
other day.
Shit.
Can we talk about that on camera?
Right, we can.
Okay, so can you kind of go into that and the whole Dragon from the River, Back from the River kind of thing?
I actually started it.
You started it?
I kind of started it unintentionally, and I didn't really give a fuck. But I was, because at that point in my career, I was battling against what we call bounce music in New Orleans.
Right.
You know, that's when I was first coming. I consider myself hip hop. Coming from New Orleans and New Orleans music, all the New Orleans audience wanted to hear was bounce. So I was trying to compete with the fucking bounce market. And so I had a lyric that said, one, never gonna change my style, two, never gonna bounce, never gonna bow. You know, that was a stab at bounce music, bounce artists, I ain't give a fuck, you know. Yeah. And UNLV didn't take too well to that shit.
Right, so they did that Dragon
so
River.
So I'm just, you know, riding down the street, next thing you know, I heard, oh, he wants some. And that's cold, y'all fucking beat knocking. Man, the first got that bitch bombing. Then I hear Mystic Cole, you are her. What? Oh, the motherfucker. What the? Yeah, so that's where that started.
Nice.
That was a real fun rival.
Rap Genius.
And what was, can you talk about just about writing back from the river?
He said he dragged me from the river, so I was letting him know that I was indeed back from that motherfucking same river. Yeah, I'm back. Yes.
Awesome. And something you've done more recently is one of my favorites, Hit Me. Blew me away.
Wow.
Blew me away. I mean, wow. I'm a huge James Brown fan.
Thank you, man.
And and so the whole thing is sort of very JB's, the way you talk.
Just, you know, that was me paying homage to all the music that inspired me, that came before me.
Yeah.
You know, because I get a lot of inspiration. I go backwards. I don't really go forward.
Yeah.
I reach backwards.
So specifically at the end, you invert Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Right.
So can you talk about why you shouted that out, why you switched it around?
Actually, I got that idea from a publicist I had a long time ago. She said, Mike, you know, it would be a great idea if you flip that James Brown. It said, Say It Proud, man, Shine. She said, Say It Proud, I'm Black. black and I'm loud. I'm like, wow. And that shit stuck with me. She told me that shit years and years and years ago. I know she was so surprised when I you know, finally ripped that motherfucker.
Yeah. Definitely. And also on that song, you have this absolutely hysterical impersonation of like some old white guy listening to your shit.
Right.
Can you talk about that? Coming up with the voice and all that?
It was just, you know, it was inspired by the track. You know, Don Juan and KLC made the track, and as I was listening to the track, you know, it was talking to me, you know, and it was taking me, you know, all those different directions, man. So it was just fun. You know, I put it together like it was a stage play or some kind of production or something like that. Yeah. You know, that shit, it was really, I really enjoyed putting that motherfucker together. I did.
That really comes alive. I wanted to, you know, the sort of song that announced you were back was Original.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about a couple things in that. First, the intro, where you say, you know, I felt like a refugee.
Refugee.
Can you talk about that for a minute?
That was, you know, my plight. You know, the plight, the prison plight, going through the penal system, that shit. Just, and being a celebrity, you know, it's tough.
How can you tell me?
You know, they expect certain things from me. And I'm really a humble guy. I'm not the guy that they expect me to come through the door screaming and holler, "Bah, motherfucker, I'm in this bitch. I ain't listening to nobody. All the prisoners, let's head to the gate." You know, so I was automatically, when I stepped through the door, what they call a security threat, you know, because they felt like I can influence, you know, the population to do what the fuck I wanted them to do. You know, that wasn't the case.
Wow. And there was a line in there that was just so deep. The stuff about, like, you know, the whole thing about, like, call me porch monkey, but I know that you want to be me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Can you talk about that whole section?
You know, it's just, going through that experience, that prison experience, you know, there are some guards, some prison guards in the position, you know, of authority over you. And you kind of using that fucking authority to say some things to me that you wouldn't have said if we were, you know, man to man on that fucking street. Yeah. So I was just letting them know, I know where you're coming from, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm still be me. You go ahead and be you, though.
Yeah. And I just thought, like, it caught up. You know, stuff about race and racial dynamics,
right,
and stuff.
Right,
so,
right.
So,
and I try not to, you know, hawk on that kind of shit because we got enough of that bullshit. But I'll let them know I'm abreast of what the fuck is going on. Believe that.
That's awesome. And I would be remiss if, while I had you in the room, I didn't talk to you about Shake Your Ass. I'm sure you're talked out about it. Is there something you've never said about, like, making that song or something about it or aligning it or anything?
I know if it was my choice to put it out as a single, I wouldn't have wanted to do it because I didn't think it represented me, as, you know, lyrically the way I would want to be represented, you know. So, you know, once they put it out there, it definitely proved me wrong. So, okay, I've been wrong before.
Rap Genius.
I was also wondering, I'm just so curious about, like, the New Orleans, early New Orleans days. You said you were kind of going against bounds. Like,
right.
What was that like to kind of try to be hip-hop and to do that?
It was tough. If they wasn't trying to hear it, I don't give a fuck how well you can rap. They want to hear repetition, shake your ass and bounce that, what's that, bounce that ass and whatever, you know, over the same beat over and over. If it didn't have that kind of chanty sound to it, they wasn't trying to hear nobody rapping.
Wow.
I wasn't taking no for an answer, so... that's why I had to kind of form a style to kind of appease to what they were liking, but still, you know, represent me and represent something bigger than just, you know, one market.
And how did you feel when...
And I definitely wanted that market.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers too.
Definitely. How did you feel when you heard some little kids go at you during that era? With the Bee Gees, right?
Oh, yeah, little motherfucker. Now, my boy, now, keep your head up, so it went, man, we got your back out, you big dog, for real.
Yeah.
He was, you know, I'm sure somebody was in his ear, you know, telling him to do that.
Right.
I was, you know, I was on the top of the fucking pile, so to get to the top, you got to shoot at the top.
Right.
You know, to be, I like to say, to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Definitely.
So it was flattering.
That's incredible. And, you know, another thing that kind of reintroduced you was the BET cipher a little back. Can you talk about kind of getting that opportunity? How did you spit what you spit out there?
Just, you know, I know I want to move them. You know, I want to be me and be unique. You know, because I didn't want to sound like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how I approach my music. I want to be myself. You know, I'm ready to turn that fucking page again to where I want it to go.
Yeah,
you know, I hear a lot of guys complain about certain sounds and, oh, this sound the same and all, oh, that sound the same. I tell them, do something about it or drop something better than, you know, all that fucking complaining.
Right.
It's winning.
And so I was just curious about, like, being on Cash Money now and, you know, the stuff you had in the past and all that. I assume it's all water under the bridge now.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, during that time, we always had mutual respect for each other, you know, a whole bunch of admiration for each other, you know, definitely.
Excellent.
So, I wasn't even surprised. You know, definitely.
That's really incredible.
And I think without that history, you know, we wouldn't have the mind that we have now.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of respect came with that.
Definitely. You know? And so what's going on now? Is there the album in the works?
We are projecting this June, original, the album.
Nice. Yes. Oh, good. So it'll be kind of in line with original, and will Hit Me Be on it, or?
Fucking right.
Nice.
Right. If it ain't over my dead body.
can you talk a little bit about James? Because I felt like you so got James Brown thing on that tune.
Subconsciously, you know what I mean? It wasn't by design, you know. That's what I grew up listening to with my mom. You know, she is the biggest James Brown fan in the world. She used to always tell me, "You is his illegitimate son." I ain't know what the fuck that meant until I got like old. I'm like, "Oh, my, he was a groupie." What the fuck? Yeah, she's always kidding me and tell me that, for real.
Nice. And so you just heard it growing up and kind of gravitated to it?
But I tell you, during my prison, my 6-year fucking prison stint, that's why I listened to a lot of James Brown and Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Elber. I listened to a lot of the current shit too, but I went back deeper to the shit that was deep, you know, deeper rooted in the ground.
What was it about the soul music that...
It's soulful. Did you say it? You answer that motherfucker yourself. It's soulful, man. It's something that you can feel, you know.
That is really awesome.
That's how I try to make my music. I try to, if my music don't change how you feel, then I feel like I'm being a derelict of duty. You know, I didn't do my job. You know, you can't be listening to my fucking record thinking about who you owe money or who you owe money to. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And real quick, something I wanted to get about, two quick things. First, about Neck of the Woods.
That was fun.
Yeah, you mentioned Press Your Luck on that. It's one of my, I remember watching it as a kid, the No Whammies on the show.
No Whammies, goddammit, yeah.
Did you watch that show as a kid?
You know, my music is influenced by a lot of television, a slew of fucking comedians, you know, movies, cartoons, you know, just everyday camp, you know, especially fucking ghetto neighborhood camp. And I got a lot of different slangs from the prison jargon. Oh my god, the shit you hear every day.
Yeah. What's the best? What's a good slang from there that you use now?
I say and all this old kind of shit. It's so much fucking ghetto. I try to weed that shit out my fucking system. For real. I try not to be institutional. Right.
Nice. And one final thing on Bouncing Back. You talk about, you know, more dramatic than Batman and Robin. Right. Who's your favorite superhero?
It's a toss up between fucking Superman because he's so unfuckwittable, and Spider-Man, he's so elusive, for real.
Nice.
For real.
Well, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much for spending time with Rap Genius and breaking down your lyrics. We really appreciate it.
Had a blast, man.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was our interview with Mystical. For more information on him, you can check his verified Rap Genius account at rapgenius.com/mystical. Kevin Gates will be coming up in just a minute. But first, if you enjoyed what you hear on Outside the Lines, visit us on iTunes. From there, you can subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, make sure to leave us a review. The more positive reviews we get, the better chance we have of continuing to get great guests like Mystical and Kevin Gates. Now, we bring you a one-of-a-kind conversation with Kevin Gates. Gates, who hails from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is maybe the most unique personality to have crossed my path in my time at Rap Genius. His music and his personality are open and vulnerable and absolutely captivating. Kevin got his start on the mixtape scene in Baton Rouge just a couple years ago. Lately, he's made the leap to a national stage, signing to Atlantic Records, and guesting with megastar Pusha T on his song Trust You. Kevin's latest release is the critically acclaimed mixtape and EP, which you can find on iTunes, The Luca Brasi Story. We met at the Rap Genius Ranch at South by Southwest. Now here's our talk with Kevin Gates.
I've done quite a few interviews. I've done a number of interviews, and they asked me the basic questions that you could just go on my bio and read about that. But like I said, I knew what I wanted, And what I always wanted was, you know, I don't feel like any, I'm not materialistic by any means in any form or fashion. I don't care about money at all. I don't. I promise. Wealth is of the mind and of the heart and of the spirit, not of the pocket. And I wanted to be appreciated in my entirety. I didn't want to just be a good rapper. I didn't just want to be a great hook man or anything. I wanted to be appreciated in my entirety because of the versatility that I exhibit as an artist. And this is what you all do. So this is why I'm more than willing to, here in the time is rap, Jen, yeah, come on, let's get. Not to say, not to sing, not to, you know, not saying I have a ill taste in my mouth toward other brands or whatever, what have you. But like I say, for you all to take time to dissect my lyrics and ask me the meaning of those lyrics, you know, I have a greater appreciation for you all as a whole.
So there's sort of the street element to what you do, but also when you talk about love, when you talk about relationships, like, it goes really deep. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard a rapper who, you know, by nature is supposed to be kind of like tough and invulnerable, use the phrase separation anxiety in a song. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is, and it adds another level to what you do. So if maybe you could talk about that, about like being vulnerable, especially in hip hop, in like the context of talking about love.
I know who I am as an individual, and I'm not a machine, I'm a human being. I have real feelings. You have to understand that an individual that I fight hard, I hustle hard, I grind hard. So if I do all of these things hard, you would only assume that I would love hard. And I'm extremely passionate about, you know, the things that I'm passionate about. You know, and like I say, it's crazy you say that. A lot of people feel they look at that as a weakness, but my weaknesses are my strengths because I know my weaknesses and I can capitalize on those weaknesses. And by my weaknesses being my strengths and me admitting my weaknesses, that makes me a giant amongst men because I wasn't afraid to do something that so many people hide, so many people conceal, so many people hide within the confines of masculinity. I said this another time. Most men feel like they have to be her. But why do you feel like you have to be her? Because you were hurt at one time. You were hurt, you know. And like I say, yeah, you could be brave in the streets. You could be brave at anything you do in life. But I have a song I call Brave Horse, and it's brave hearts. Shout out to those who aren't afraid to be in love. Heartbroken too many times, no brave hearts. Shout out to those who aren't afraid to be in love. Heartbroken too many times, no brave hearts. No brave hearts. I'm asking heaven to send me a brave heart. I'm asking heaven to send me a brave heart. And that's the scariest thing. The scariest thing is to say, I'm going to love this person with everything inside of me. And I don't know if this person feels the same way about me. It's a gamble.
You talk about your first love, I assume your first love, since it was so early. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like a middle school.
Yeah. Yeah, that person. You gotta realize at a time I come from a space where no one really loved me, and I can't. And they may say that they did, but like my mother, she was married, she had two children. You know, she went off with her husband. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother raised me, so the love that I got was from this individual in middle school, and I really didn't have a lot then. My grandfather's car used to break down at Martin Luther King. We pull up to his car, break down at school sometimes. So, and my school uniform, it really wasn't like all the other children's school uniforms. I didn't have Jordans. I didn't have all the nice things that all the other children had. But this person saw past all of that. and still loved me. So I commend her on that. But when I say about breaking my heart, we were both very, very young at the time, and I don't fault her for anything because, you know, she had been scarred. She had hardships that disallowed her to trust, if that's even the right word. But she had been scarred, so she truly didn't know how to love. But, you know, me and this person, we're great friends. We talk all the time, and you know, I told her, I'm like, you're the first person I ever loved. And she like, you're the first person I ever loved. And we really, you know what I'm saying?
What was it about the Twilight story, the idea, like, the romance between the, you know, the vampire and normal person or whatever, that got you to use that as, like, a framing device for your
Because life? As I wouldn't really consider, I wouldn't say a vampire, but I feed on, metaphorically speaking, I feed on human beings. I feed on the energy of others. I feed, you know what I'm saying? You know, I, like, when you meet a vampire, they need that person. You know, I need that person. And that's how I felt about their relationship, because my whole life, I've always had abilities, such as physical abilities, such as mental capabilities, such as spiritual, you know, just abilities. I always had just abilities that made me out of the norm, so to say, when it came to just placing me in a, you couldn't categorize me with another group of individuals. And I really prefer not to be out in the daytime. And being that the world is more chaotic during the day, you know, at nighttime, everything's more settled. Everything's more, you know, it's more peaceful. It's more me. So that's really where I'm at with that. And the men in my family, just genetically, we really don't age. After 25, we just get, like, I can show you old pictures of me, and I look older than what I was, what I look now. It's like some kind of way genetically we get younger after the age 25. My uncle, he looks 17. So when I talk about the urgency of being with a certain individual, I mean, I've been in a relationship with someone, with an older woman, and she got the feeling like she was ugly, but I'm not with you because of the fit based on the physical. I'm with you based on who you are as a person. You know what I'm saying? So like I say, I kind of associated myself or kind of, I kind of found similarities with me and, I guess, vampires, so to say. Yeah. You know, everything about me is different. I don't watch any TV. I don't, you know what I'm saying? My favorite author is Nicholas Sparks. I mean, my movies are books. So, I mean, I live a different type of life. So, like, such as, you know, you got to realize me coming from an urban community, you know, a very poverty-stricken community to where, you know, it's certain things that when you look at an individual that looks like I look, you just assume certain things about that individual. But once people get to know me, they're like, man, you're totally different than what I ever would have imagined. Such as me teaching different females I may have been with how to eat with chopsticks. Just, you know, I'm really into romance. I mean, I really am. You know, I love it. You know, even if a relationship only lasts 90 days, I love being in love for the short time that maybe I was into it, you know.
That ties in, that, you know, the whole idea of vulnerability ties in with your flow a little bit.
Right.
You have on some songs you do a little more sort of traditional rap flow, but then on like Paper Chasers and other stuff, you have more kind of, I wouldn't exactly call it singing, but more like a sing-songy
right.
flow. So how'd you develop the kind of sing-songy style?
To be honest with you, I can say that it evolved, but I did a lot of reggae, like with the patois accent. I was doing a lot of songs that I know them after me, but me no running I. Grinding enemy lines with the 45. Oh, Lord, they are for them. Watch over the children. Let them know them people, them address it, I fi kill them. Surviving the game, me I deal cocaine. Officer, I came, me I give no names. Ola, they have for you, them. Watch over the children, a soldier man, we I. And a boss of man, AI, do we I. See what I'm saying? So it's like that.
And it went from that
But yeah, I can't say that because I did a, I also did some songs with a acoustic guitar playing, like playing on the blink blink. Seems we fallin' in the fall time throughout summer, winter, spring. Still I waited so impatient, thinking you'd come back to me. And I don't know why this relationship should ever have to cease. If everything happens for reason, should have never let you leave. Or am I maybe going crazy as I leave this double life? They say drugs are not the answer, yet they ease my troubled mind. And suicide's been contemplated. Pow! And I just leave it all behind. If your heart was never broken, you'd so easily be mine. And, you know, so I just can't say that it just, I just make music. Like, I get lost in it because I deal with deep depression, and that's my only release is music. I gotta make a song. Like, people ask me, man, I like that song you made yesterday. Well, that song ain't better than this song. And some nights I might have to make two songs or three songs until I make that one that could make me forget about what I did yesterday. So when I, and that's my only, and that's my only relief for deep depression, because I'm a very, very loyal individual. I'm so loyal to the point that, Sean, if me and you were friends, no one could tell me anything negative about you without me lashing out, you know. My first thing would be, man, that's my dog, and I'd probably walk away. But if you was persistent about telling me something negative about Sean, it probably wouldn't turn out too well. And that's just the type of loyalty that I have for the individuals that I love. I always feel like I have to protect them. I have to be the protector. That's kind of where the name Luca Brasi came from. Being that I'm really into mafia movies, and being that he was an enforcer, he was a protector of the family.
I ask you about that because it's a little bit unusual. Yeah. People are, you know, I'm Don Corleone.
I'm in tune with reality, and I know who I am. And it's sad to say, but my younger brother is Don Corleone. I'm the enforcer. I'm the muscle. But my younger brother is the brains of the whole operation. You know, he's very seldom seen. He don't really be on camera. He don't like no spotlight or nothing. But that's cool. I'm the protector. He's just the thinker. He never talks, but when he does, it's always something profound. And, you know, I'm in tune with reality. I don't know too many big brothers that would be like, my younger brother is my big dog, but that's my big dog.
You talked about loyalty a second ago, and I once again have to hold your head, because that's an instance you talk about where your loyalty maybe was betrayed or tested when you talk about this.
It was. I was, like I say, and not in a bad way. I'm not bashing that record label, but if I didn't speak about it, that's my only release. That's my only therapy. I don't talk to a psychiatrist. I don't see a shrink. The mic is my shrink. And I noticed that like 4 or 5 days without recording, I'm not a good person to be around. So me recording the way I record makes it safe for everyone, I guess. But in the streets, coming up in the streets, I never had a father figure. So this man that I looked up to, this man that I love very, very dearly, I looked at him like a father. And that means I trusted him 100%. That means that I never had any type of inclination of anything foul. I even have this man's face tattooed on my body. I have this man's face on my body. You know, I love this man. But like I say, I come to you and I tell you, do you really love me like a son? And you say something like, yeah, I really do. So if you love me like a son, why wouldn't you want me to be better than what I am? if you really love me like a son, let me go. Let me go into business for myself. You know, and you know one thing, you let me go. When I'm good, you're going to be good. But if you don't trust me in that manner enough to let me go win for the team, if you don't trust me enough, then what does that say about your character? What does that say about you as an individual? You know what I'm saying? What does that say? If I had to find things out, things that you weren't open with me about.
Except with the Corey signature, like you talked about.
Like, how do I, that kind of compromises how I think about you.
For the listeners who haven't heard the song, can you describe that situation?
Like I said, you have to really listen at the song. But this goes out to those of you who get it in and grind. Loved ones in the grave. The others doing time. But we'll be just fine. Hold your head. Hold your head. But don't never hold your head down. Everybody love you when you broke. Hate it when you shine. Back against the rope. Somehow we still smile. Hold your head. Hold your head. But don't never hold your head down. And I said that because it don't matter what. This go out to all my young starving artists. Be not controlled. No man on earth is God. On your own, you can go get on. You know what I'm saying? Because at the time, man, my whole support system was ripped from underneath me. I had no support system. So, you know, that hold your head, I was talking to really all the young starving artists. Because it was told of me that I was going to fall on my face without certain things. But I was like, I serve a higher being. You know, I serve the universe, so, you know.
And
I adhere to what was ever instilled in me. And once I started adhering to what was in my heart, the universe opened up. The will of the universe opened up.
Rap Genius.
You had Count on You. I had this line that I would really just love to hear your take on. You say, got two people living in me, one a realist, one a killer.
Kevin trying to be a Christian. No, Luca Brasi, he a sinner. Kevin trying to be a Christian. Yeah.
What was that? Can you break down?
Yeah, because there's something called rationalization. And there's something called impulse. And a lot of times impulse may make us want to lash out violently and make us want to do things, you know, in a violent, handle things in a violent manner. But then you got rationalization that says, if you do that, then what are the consequences for that action? You know, so I was really just metaphorically speaking in terms of how I battle with myself as an individual every day.
And I wanted to, you know, a lot of your music, I don't think sounds like anyone else. But you have a song about another artist, and I wanted to talk about that for a second. You have Marshall Mathers.
Yeah, Marshall Mathers.
And the hook on that is really great. And it's, you know, sometimes I feel like Marshall Mathers is good-hearted and prone to fuck up my family.
Hates me.
Yeah. And I was just wondering your thoughts about Eminem's persona, his music, and how you feel it connects with you.
I identify with him as an artist because coming up for me, I was the black sheep of my family. I love him, would do anything for him. Whenever y'all in trouble and it's time to get gangster, y'all love me. But whenever you get a chance to bash me, you bash me. And I can't understand it. Like, I love all of you individuals so much. I may have made a few mistakes, I'm not perfect. But why come down so hard on me? So I really was kind of an outcast, you know, I really was. And as the music has started to, you know, do what it's supposed to, take form, take shape, and I deal with a lot of different individuals in my family, and they, we love you, and I bet you weren't saying that before I was doing this. So just like I say, once again, rationalization. No, it's a hurtful feeling. I wanna love them, but I already know what it is. So why, you know what I'm saying? I do love them. But sometimes you gotta love people enough to love them from a distance. Because even though they might not mean you any wrong, they still don't mean any good. So moot point.
So you're from Louisiana, obviously.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But New Orleans has played a big part in your music too.
Yeah, of course, because my grandmother's from there. I lived there as a child. I was always back and forth with my great-grandmother when she was living at the time. She lived on Dersia Wall. I was always back and forth my whole life. But I could really say, well, I jumped off the porch down there, but I really started experimenting with the game in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So Baton Rouge, Louisiana, really, it was so instrumental in helping me navigate. It was so instrumental in helping me navigate because Baton Rouge is like a whole nother country. It's like a different type of country, a different breed of individuals. So that's why, I appreciate all the street smarts and all the skills that I, acquired and obtained while living in Baton Rouge. You know, then the music I make can really be attributed to Baton Rouge. You know, it was because the way that I saw the world, the way that I grew up and the way that I looked at the world, I always looked at the world different. You know, and I'm good, I always looked at the world different. I often use the metaphor of comparing my woman to the streets. I love the streets. I love them. I love this woman. I got to share the streets with other niggas. I ain't the only one hustling in the streets. I got to share the streets with other niggas. I got to share this woman with other niggas, And me looking at it metaphorically, it allows me to have an acceptance of that. So that's another thing. And I know if I go to jail, the streets real good to me. They pay me, give me all the money in the world. Everything I make be out the streets. If I go to jail, the streets ain't going to do nothing for me. I love this woman. She good to me when I'm with her. But if I go to jail, she ain't going to do nothing for me. So me relating that, me looking at it metaphorically, it allows me to have an acceptance of a lot of things. And, once you accept it, once you accept it, like really accept it, like Rudyard Kipling said, if you could walk with kings and not lose your commoner's touch, if all men count but none too much, then you'll be a man, my son. So that's why I say I don't really believe in regrets either, because I enjoyed whatever I was doing while I was doing it. Why regret it?
And New Orleans and Baton Rouge, obviously, I've always been close, more so especially after the hurricane.
After the hurricane, but it's still two totally different types of cultures. And I believe that I'm somewhat bridging the gap with my music. In a way that because it's a lot of artists in New Orleans right now, but the streets ain't responding to them. The streets ain't rocking with them. But New Orleans just accepted me and embraced me, and
Master P?
Yeah, I've been knowing him though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been knowing him before this rap, before the rap game. I've been knowing him. That's my dog though. Yeah, man. Shout out. I've been knowing him. A lot of his family members, I know. It's always been close like that. But shout out to C. Murder. He was very instrumental. And just certain things that I would hear him say, certain things I would hear Master P say, they were very instrumental. They helped me navigate. But I also have a relationship with Lil Wayne and Birdman.
I say you quote Lil Wayne on Talking Stupid.
Yeah. I quote,
one of my favorite lines of Wayne's.
Ain't had shit to do with this, but just thought that I would mention.
Yeah, one of my favorite Wayne moments.
Yeah.
What was it about that?
I just, one thing that he was, if I could say, if anybody had the most profound effect on me, I probably said I had to be Tunchin, because he taught me how to. Don't be afraid of yourself. Don't be afraid of what other people are going to think about you when you do something. Don't even think about that. When you approach anything that you approach it like it's your own. approach it like it's your own and make it your own. And that's all I needed. That's how, once he told me that, that's all I needed. I don't need you to give me no money. I don't need you to nothing. Because once he told me that, I took it and I made it. I turned it into, I guess it was already earning potential. But I took it and I turned it into something profitable. Just some words that he spoke out of his mouth. You know, and I know him sitting back looking, he'd probably be more appreciative to me doing that than somebody who was like, Tune, I need some money to pay my rent. I need you to help me. You know, so I'd be like, man, I told Kevin one thing, he took it and ran with it. You know, so that, like, one thing, I salute him for that.
I want to talk a little bit about religion in your work.
Right.
Because you have this battle that you seem to be constantly fighting between wanting to be, you know, on the straight and narrow, right with God.
Right.
Good Christian, I guess would be the phrase. And not being able to pull it off in some way. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that.
What's your religion?
My parents were a different religions. My mom was Jewish, my dad was Catholic.
I'm going to be honest. I've studied so many different religions. And, I really can't tell you I have a religion, but I do have a relationship with the Most High. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like there's only three commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemy. And if I live by those three commandments, I feel like I'm keeping all 10. Or whatever, however many commandments they may be. But I don't like to really talk religion because, you know, there's so many different forms of religion. So in my attempt to not be offensive toward all parties involved, I just say a higher power, because I know some great Jewish people. I know some great Muslims. I know some great Christians. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that all of these people, when they die, are going to be rewarded for just the type of individuals that they are. Great individuals. And I feel like no matter what you're doing, if you're involved in whatever religion you're doing, you're playing ball. Whichever one you're involved in, you're playing ball.
I wanted to talk about your early career a little bit. On I Need It, you kind of go back to A&R's listening to you and use this crazy phrase. You say they were poking fun at my struggle.
Yeah.
What was your worst experience in that thing?
This was my thing the whole time with that, with A&R's, was this. I'm really from poverty. I really come from poverty. I really come from when we get peanut butter and we had to walk to McDonald's and go get jelly to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I really come from that. I really come from 15 to 20 people in one house. I really come from that. You know what I'm saying? So, I brought one of the A&Rs to Baton Rouge. I brought them through the slums. And, you know, I just took them around, showed them different things. He was like, man, Kevin knows every crackhead. And just kept, you know, that's what you say was funny to you. But it's not funny because this is the way I live. I can get killed doing this any day. You can get killed doing this with me. You know what I'm saying? So Kevin knows every crackhead. Nah, it ain't that I know every crackhead. I was in a business one time where those were my clientele. And I don't look at those people as crackheads. I look at those people as smokers. I look at those people as people, because that's what they are. They're nothing beneath you. Not at all. You, this homeless person, no teeth in his mouth. You smell like shit. You are no better than him. You cannot judge him. He's a crackhead, whatever, call him what you want. But that's somebody's uncle. And one of the people he was talking about was happened to be an auntie of mine, my grandmother's sister. You know, not in a bad way. I didn't tell him that. But I come from this. I come from poverty. I come from struggle. You never struggle. If something happened, you'll lose your mind and freak out and break down. If something happened to me, shit, we'll get over it. Because we come from nothing already. So it was always laughter in certain individuals' voices when they would speak about certain things that I went through. They'd be like, well, Kevin, why don't you do this and do that? And you know, you could do. Nah, it's your plan. I was living like this. And if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be living like this. So it really didn't sit too well with me that they allowed themselves to be wild by the things that I was showing them and the things that I might tell them. But this is how I'm living. This ain't pretend. You know what I'm saying? This is how I'm living. So that's where it really just didn't sit well with me, because I never. Life is too serious. It's I've been in too many serious situations to allow a sheltered individual to even play with me. Tell you the truth, she never did those things. You never struggled. Because if you did, you'd be way more appreciative than what you are right now in life. You know what I'm saying? And Sam A&R openly say he don't believe in God and da-da-da-da. That's cool. I'm cool with that. You hear me? I don't care what you do. That's none of my business. You hear me? But at the same time, whatever your belief system is, I'm not sarcastic with it. Be not sarcastic with my belief system. That's all I ask. Give me the same respect that I give you as an individual. We don't have to ever be around each other if you don't want to. Because I swear to God, I've got to the point where I don't even allow myself to get attached. Heartbreak, heartache, you know, emotionally, being emotionally distraught has become a way of life for me. So individuals have been in and out of my life to where, all right, yeah, you too, go. So really, that's just where I'm at with on the whole situation.
What's Understood was such a powerful song for me. You know that one line, you say, thought I quit thugging until my ribs touched. And I thought that was the part of, you know, street life, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't make it to hip hop records. This idea of people wanting to get out but not being able to. So
right.
One-dimensional, it's I'm the king of, you know, zone six.
Or whatever neighborhood you're from.
Exactly.
But me, I live in reality, and I'm no king. I'm just a small piece of the puzzle. So in me carrying myself like that, people treat me as if a giant. Because if I was to step on your shoe, excuse me, big brother, I apologize, I'd dust your shoe off. Just me giving you that type of respect will make you go to the end of the earth for me. Just that type of respect. And that's why it's not people don't fear me. People genuinely have respect for me because of the type of individual that I am. I'm not a monster. I just give respect and I get respect in return. So that's just what it is with me right now. And I don't live within the confines of my insecurities. It's nothing that I'm insecure about.
There's so much stuff.
And we could talk all day.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't tripping.
So what are you up to now? You got the Luca Brasi thing. I saw that the one thing I saw when I was looking at it is that critics, or at least, you know, a handful of critics really seem to get you in a way that, like, a lot of, you know, definitely seem to be paid like a certain amount of real serious attention. And I think that speaks to your music. And I was just wondering what you look at if you see, you know, reviews that kind of go a little more.
I know it's crazy, but I don't pay attention to that. And when someone asks me, what you got up? My manager will have to tell me every show that I have probably the day before, because I'm so focused on music to where, and I never want to not be focused on music the way that I am, but I'm so focused on music, I can't allow myself to pay attention to Twitter. I can't allow myself to pay attention to what a video doing on. I might look at the video a few times. I can't allow myself to pay attention to that because it probably take me out of my element. And I'm just the type of individual, I believe that whatever's meant to be will be. So I don't believe in going outside of my element, like how me and Jim Jones met. I mean, I guess the universe just opened up. And me and that individual, we met and we developed a rapport, and everything's great. I look at him like a big brother. I ask him any question I want to about the industry. He's very knowledgeable about it. But I wouldn't go say, look, I'm about to go to on this side of the country and go mess with such and such. Nah, that's how problems start. I know there's like so many people running behind each other and it's just confusion. I stay in my own lane. And like I say, I'm not the type of artist you have to tell to record. Because I have to record. I fall into depression. I battle with depression. The only help for my depressions, for the times that I fall into depression, is making music. That's it.
Is there a concept for the new record, a new batch?
I don't approach any project like that. I just do songs. Whatever songs fit it, they fit it. If they don't, they don't. I just make music.
Look forward to seeing you perform at Southwest. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming by.
I appreciate you for having me, and I really mean this when I say this. I really love doing interviews with Rap Genius. That's just me, though. I just really love it. So that's been, anybody else, I'd have been very blunt with you. You can go on YouTube and look at some of my interviews as opposed to this one. But yeah, because the energy isn't right. The individuals that, they don't know me. They're not even really sincere about trying to know me as an individual. So why pretend? One of my constituents, he said, man, Kevin, you know, you got to kind of, you know, kind of make them feel comfortable, you know, act like you into it. And I'm like, that wouldn't be me being true to form. To thine own self be true. And then it shows the viewers, you know, different. It shows the, like, just different sides of me. You can see where I'm not being disrespectful, but at the same time, I'm not being very welcoming. But like I say, I'm honest with everything that I do. So that's really where I'm at right now with it. I just want to continue to make great music and be, you know, a great artist. I don't have to be the best. I just want to be your favorite. I just want to be your favorite rapper. That's it.
And we look forward to hearing more of that great music in the months and years to come. Thanks,
sir. I really appreciate you for having me. Peace and love.
That was our talk with Kevin Gates. I hope you enjoyed it nearly as much as I did. Join us in 2 weeks when we spend time chilling with Melk D of Audio 2. Outside the Lines with Rap Genius is created and written by Sean Sotero, a.k.a. Same Old Sean.
You know, you can't be listening to my fucking record thinking about who you owe money or who owe, or, you know, who you owe money to. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The show is produced and engineered by Josh Cross at Crosstown Studios.
Abilities, I always had just abilities that made me out of the norm.
These interviews were recorded by some combination of Tim LaRue and Ian Goodwin from The Fresh Air, that's H-E-I-R, and our Rap Genius video MVPs, Jason Chandler and Aaron Vasquez.
And like I say, I'm not the type of artist you have to tell to record.
Our music is by Psionic.
Whatever songs fit it, they fit it. If they don't, they don't.
And the creator of our Almost There website, OutsideTheLinesPodcast.com, is Paul Dykes.
I salute him for that.
You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Facebook at Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and our Twitter handle is OTL_podcast. And you can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Same Old Sean. That's S-H-A-W-N.
Whichever one you're involved in, you're playing ball.
Join us in 2 weeks when Milk D of Audio 2 receives top billing on Outside the Lines with Rap Genius.
Get your ass in, on that ass, you know, over the same beat, over and over.